To continue with my message on Ephesians chapter 4. Okay. Can I have the controller, please, James? I spoke on this topic called Becoming as One 2 weeks ago. How many of you were here? All right. Okay, so this is the continuation of that sermon. And the text is taken from Ephesians 4, 1 to 6. Okay, becoming as one. So, 2 weeks ago, I covered verses 1 and 2. Today, I will continue with verses 3 to 6. Right? So, before we go any further, let us read this passage together, alright? Let's read this passage together. 1, 2, 3. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Just a quick recap of what was preached 2 weeks ago. And I mentioned that this message is a pastoral message. Means it is a message from me as a pastor to all of you. And I believe that this is the call of God for this season. And I mentioned that Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, he said that there is a season for everything. And this season for us, church, is that we are not to be scattered. We are to be gathered together. We are to build. We are to heal. And this is the season for our church. And I mentioned about three things in my last sermon. And the first thing that the Apostle Paul reminded of us is to remember our calling. And he was sharing about our previous life, the life before we came to Christ, that the kind of life that we were living was a life that was without hope. But because of God's love, because of God's mercy, God has adopted us into His family, and we are all becoming the children of God. And therefore, Paul says, that we are supposed to live a life that is worthy of this calling that God has upon our lives. And the other thing that Paul said is also to watch our conduct. Just like there is a house rule in every household, and in God's household, there is also a house rule. And Paul reminded us of how we should treat one another, how we should relate to one another. And he said that we are to be humble, we are to be patient, we are to be forbearing when we deal with one another. And Paul also said that we are to do everything with the right motivation. We are to do everything in love. And I mentioned that the love, the word love there that was mentioned by Paul is agape love. And agape love is not an emotion. It is not a feeling. But agape love is a nature. It's an inner disposition that we take. It's an inner stance. It's a character. It's an identity that we take upon ourselves. We love because this is the new nature that God gave to us. The Bible tells us that God is love. His nature is love. You know, if love is based on feelings, then it is inconsistent. Because feelings is based on impulse. But agape love is based on choice. It is a choice that we make because of who we are in God. And I mentioned that this is how we can love our enemy. We do not try to love our enemy, but we come to our enemy as a loving person. And that is why this kind of love that we practice in the house of God, it is consistent. It does not depend on the behavior of another person. It depends rather on us because of who we are. And we exercise this love. And I reminded all of us here in this house that we are to practice this love that I call the extravagant love. I was asking my daughter how to pronounce this. Is it extravagant or extravagant? So she said that it depends whether you are an English or you are an American. So I'm confused, you know. English is so confusing. So, and today I want to continue with this message. As I was seeking God and as I was praying for this message, I felt that God is saying to us that this is a new season for us. This is a new season for Ferris Park Baptist Church. And God is going to do something new. And I do not really know what it is, but I just feel that God is asking us to get ready. You know, for sailors, how many of you are sailing here? Our brother Yap is not here. He's a professional sailor, right? So he actually won a medal in the Asian Games or something, right? So he doesn't go sailing all the time. He looks at the wind. When the wind is blowing, then he sets up his sail and he goes for sailing. Church, this is the time where the Spirit of God is saying to us that we are to prepare ourselves. We are to set our sails because the wind is going to blow. You know, for this last 7 or 8 years, I would see that this church is really on a maintenance mode. Just trying to stay afloat. I remember that when I stepped into pastorate in 2008, my mentor, Pastor Thomas Jean, he said that you just don't try to do other things. You just concentrate on the Sunday service. Make sure that you run the Sunday service well. Make sure that the preaching are good and the worship songs are good. And love your people, care for them. He just said these few things. So we've been on this maintenance mode. But I sense that the time has changed for us. That this maintenance mode season is over. And we are to change the mode. As I talk to God and assess the condition of our church, and also to look at the statistics, right? In the last 5 to 7 years, we have not really grown in numbers. Not that numbers are everything, but number is also an indication of a healthy church that is growing. But the reason I say that we were on a maintenance mode is because we have not really been reaching out. We have not been actively evangelizing. But it is not all that bad. Right? In this past 5 to 7 years, I believe and I have seen individuals in our church have grown in spiritual maturity. I think we are a better church today than 5 to 7 years ago. I think we are a loving church. Although, maybe not all of you will experience that. But there was a comment made by a sister who came to our church, and he's still with us. He said that, Pastor Alvin, you know that your church is really a very loving church, but your church got no power. So I asked, what do you mean by no power, our church? So your church don't pray for people and then they fall down and miracles happen and all that. So, okay. Okay, that's power to this sister, So, but church, we do pray for the sick and the sick do get well. Okay? God is working in our midst. But it's just that there are certain practice that, it's not that we don't want to do it, because if we do it, some people may feel uncomfortable, right? I think the unity in the body of Christ is more important. So, I believe that although we are not growing in numbers, but we are growing to become more healthy. And, a healthy church will grow. If you focus on keeping your body healthy, you will grow, right? You will grow. You will not fall sick. So I believe that over the last 5 to 7 years, this is what we have been working on. And now we are becoming more and more healthy, and we are poised for something new that God is going to do in our midst. And I was seeking the Lord, and also it was in the discussion with the elders that, what is God speaking to us? What do we do? That's the question that the leaders of the church will always have to ask themselves. What is God doing in our midst? Because He is the boss. He is the head of the church. And we have to constantly hear Him and follow Him and obey what He is telling us to do. And we believe that God is leading us back to focus and to work on the essentials. And what are the essentials that we think God is leading us to do? One of the essentials is koinonia, or communal living. And then the other one is, I'm going to talk a little bit more about koinonia. I know Brother Jeremy had covered that last week, but I'm going to talk a little bit more about that today. And the second thing is a lifestyle worship. Church worship is not the 2 hours on Sunday, but worship is a lifestyle where every day in our lives, whether we go to school, whether we go to work, whatever we do, it becomes a worship unto God. Because the Bible tells us to do everything in the name of God. When we do everything in the name of God, for God, that is worship. So we have to change from that mode of looking at worship as just the 2 hours on Sunday and singing songs. It is not that. It is a lifestyle. Whatever you do, it becomes a worship unto God. We have to look at it from that perspective. And then we have to make disciples. Running the Sunday service, there's nothing wrong with that. It's good, But we can run worship service and not be making disciples. And making disciples is the commandment that Jesus asks us to do. It's the great commission that God has asked us to make disciples, that will make disciples, that will make disciples. What did Jesus do when he was on earth? Jesus chose a few disciples and he began to mentor them. He began to train them and they in turn become disciple makers. Do you know what is the yardstick? What is the measurement of a successful discipleship? It is when your disciple makes disciple, makes disciple, and makes disciple to the fourth generation. I think that is the measure of success. For us to grow, for us to really take heed to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us, we have to return to making disciples. Because it is the commandment from God. And each of us, it's not only the pastor's job. Each of us are to make disciples that will make disciples that will make disciples that will make disciples to the fourth generation. We're going to talk a little bit more about koinonia or communal living. The word koinonia is found in the Bible. It appears about 19 to 20 times. And the first time this word appeared was in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And if you read this passage here, you will be able to gain an understanding of how the early church was. What kind of communal living that they were experiencing. And it says here that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Devoted means they gave their heart and soul. They gave their heart and soul to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Means to relationship with one another in the body of Christ. They are committed. They are committed to a certain kind of relationship. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. They were not divided. They were together. There was oneness. And they had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions to give to everyone who had a need. They bear each other's burdens. In a church community like this, there are some people who struggle to make a living. There are some people who have more than enough. And what the early church did was those who had more than enough, they gave to those who had little or those who did not have enough. So there is this kind of sharing. There is this kind of journeying together, comradeship in the early church. You know, the word koinonia has a root word called koinonos. Okay, koinonos. It means sharer. It means It means sharer and it means communal. So there was this kind of environment in the early church that they shared their things. You know, there's this church in America. It's called Peninsula Bible Church. When they studied this topic about koinonia, what they did was they set up what they call a Barnabas Fund, you know. So they put a basket in front. And then those who have more than enough, they will bring their money and put in the basket. And then those who don't have enough, they are free to take the money from the basket. So this is something quite radical, right? But it is not unbiblical. You know, this is what the Word of God has challenged us to do. To return to this koinonia living. And the Bible tells us that because of this kind of unity, this kind of living that they had, the church was blessed. And they began to grow. They began to multiply. You know, if we commit to this, we begin to live like that, I believe with all my heart that God is going to bless us and we are going to grow. So I want to move on to verse 3. Paul says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. So Paul over here says unity of the Spirit. Unity of the Spirit means he is referring to another kind of unity. So what is unity of the Spirit? It's not unity in the Spirit, but unity of a certain kind. You take note that the word S there is a capital letter. So it refers to God, right? God the Spirit. So I believe over here it's actually referring to the unity that is found in the Trinity. Jesus was saying in the Word of God that He and the Father are one, right? He and the Father and one. Are one. And you can see in the Bible that there is a close interaction between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all over throughout the Bible. So there is such a unity in the Spirit. So this is the kind of unity that God wants us to pursue. This is a benchmark for us. This is the kind of unity that we are to achieve. And then he went on to say that keep this unity through the bond of peace. As best as we can, we need to strive to live peacefully with one another. Now, unity is achieved through the bond of peace. When there is peace, then the body is poised for growth, is fertile for growth. The opposite of peace is strife. When there is strife in the body of Christ, then it is very damaging. The body will suffer. The body will not grow. So we have to be careful. Because this is one of the enemy's scheme that he uses to divide us in the body of Christ. The enemy likes to sow discord. The enemy likes to create strife in the body of Christ. And when he succeeded in doing this, then the body of Christ will suffer. So church, let us not fall into the trap of the enemy. And Paul, in the same letter in Ephesians, talk about things that we need to be aware of, things that we need to put away, things that we need to put off. And the things that he mentioned are things like unwholesome talk, anger, bitterness, and all these things are bad for the body of Christ. If we have this and we don't deal with this decisively, then it is going to be damaging for the body. Solomon said this about gossip. He said that without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. So one of the things that I see as a pastor happening around us in the church is people gossip. Right? What is gossiping? The dictionary defines gossiping as unconstrained conversations or reports about other people, typically involving details that are not confirmed to be true. If you hear of something, maybe about me or about Jeremy or about the elders, wow, this is outrageous, right? Something bad, you know, about your leader. But it's unconfirmed report. You have not verified whether this is true or not true. So what you do is you do not go into the grape wine and begin to spread. You begin to do that, then you are gossiping. Do you understand? But when you receive a kind of report like this about your leader, about another friend or whoever, what you need to do is go to the person. You know there is a Bible way to deal with all these kind of things. There is a protocol in the house of God. If you have something that you are unsure of, the first thing that you need to do is go to the source and check. Talk to the person. Don't go to the grape wine and spread. So, church, it is important for us not to be gossipers in the house of God. Right? So Paul went on to say about what we can do to promote this oneness, this unity. And he said that we have so many things in common. So many things. We have one body, the body of Christ. We have one spirit. We have one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father. We have so many things in common. And we are to focus on the things that unite us. Don't focus on things that divide us. Stand on common ground. Stand on common ground. Focus on the big picture. Someone says major on the major. Don't major on the minor. Find the common ground when there is disagreement. Stay on the common ground. Stand on the common ground. You know, in a relationship, right, there will be disagreements. Husband and wife have disagreements. Me and my wife have a lot of disagreements. Because both of us are very different. We are very different. And there are things that my wife tell me and I will keep on repeating. I just cannot, because that's my nature. And there are things that I tell my wife not to do and she keeps on doing. You know, that's somehow is her nature. So I have to learn to accept. I have to learn to embrace her. You know, just give you one example. My wife likes to put shoes in the car. How many of you ladies like to do that? And I've always told my wife that please don't put your shoes in the car, because I have to fetch somebody, you know. Sometimes I have to fetch my bosses and all that. And you have the shoes in the car, you know. But I know to her it's convenient, right? So these are all minor things, right? Minor things. And shoes in the car don't really hurt me much, right? So she's my wife, you know. I have to learn to accept her, you know. And I pray that, you know, she will change, right? She will not put shoes in the car, right? As best as she can, right? Try not to aggravate, right? So we are to accept differences, right? There will be differences. But most of the time, these differences are very minor things, yeah? Minor things. Like, you know, some of you are really very gracious, very gracious. And I know that the kind of worship style that we have is not for everybody. It's not for everybody. You know, some people talk to me, say, why does the worship leader need to sing over and over and over again the same song? Right? And then one worship leader say, I have to sing over and over and over again so that I feel the anointing of God. So it's just, well, these are all minor things, right, church? These are all minor things. It doesn't hurt us. Right? So when such a thing happens, let's exercise tolerance. Let's exercise tolerance, right? And then, you know, who knows, one day you may be able to convince the guy not to sing so many times, right? And then, or you can convince this person to sit in and enjoy the worship, right? The songs, yeah? So, just give time to each other, right? We are all on a journey, right? The more important thing is, how can we become as one? Because we are not divided. We are one. And the Bible actually asks us, challenge us to become that one body. Put away our differences. So this is the end of my sermon. So my challenge to all of us here is that let's become as one. Because this is the word of God for us as a church for this season. And we are to put away our differences. Remember the kind of life that we had before we knew Jesus. And embrace the new life that God has given us. And each one of us have to be careful with how we conduct ourselves. Because in the house of God, there is a house rule. And we are to practice love, forbearance, patience, and be humble with one another. And we want to exemplify koinonia, that kind of community living that was seen in the early church. And we want and we must become like that. We are not a social club. It is not a club where you can join as a member and then you can just take your membership off. But when you become part of a body, it is very different. It has a very different meaning. You become a part of the body of Christ. So each of you has a role to play here. God has put you here for a certain reason. So we are called to preserve this unity, to keep this unity, and not to allow anything, any differences to destroy us, to destroy this. And we are to maintain that peace, because peace is so important. The opposite of peace is strife. And when we have strife in the body of Christ, it will be very damaging. So when we have a situation where we don't see eyeball to eyeball with another person, we have to go to the person and talk it out. Don't sweep things under the carpet. Because after a few days, then it will become a stench. It will become a problem later on. Right? So this is a challenge for us, church. Challenge to be as one. I want us to view a video, okay? And somebody sent this to me on Facebook, and I believe some of you may have watched this video before, but it is about this guy, you know? And I just look at this person, he may not even be a believer, but his attitude, his behavior is exemplary. He is so Christ-like. So, I just want us to watch this video, and then I want to ask the worship team to come and we just sing a song in response to God. Then we will go to our family meeting.
เขาจะได้อะไรถ้าเขาทำแบบนี้ทุกวันเราจะไม่ได้อะไรเลยไม่ได้รวยขึ้นไม่ได้ออกทีวีไม่มีใครรู้จักไม่ได้มีชื่อเสียงที่มากขึ้นเพราะสิ่งที่เขาได้คือได้แค่ความรู้สึกได้เห็นความสุขได้เข้าใจได้ความรักได้ในสิ่งที่เงินซื้อไม่ได้ได้โลกที่สวยงามกว่าเดิมเ ในชีวิตคุณอะไรคือสิ่งที่คุณต้องการมากที่สุด
Shall we pray? Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you for your love for us, your unconditional love for us, O Lord. You love us, Lord, when we were so unlovely.You love us when we were so undeserving, Lord. Despite of all our weaknesses, despite of all our sins, despite of us turning our backs against you, Lord, you love us. You have showed your unconditional love for us.You have showed your unchanging love for us, O God. And for that, Lord, we are grateful. And you have called us into this family. And you have made us, Lord, to be part of your family. And you call us your body, O Lord. You do not call us anything else, but you embrace us. You call us and you made us.To be your body, because you had faith in us. Because, O Lord, you trust us. So, Father, we pray that you will give us strength, that you will fill us, Lord, with your power, with your Holy Spirit, that we will be able.To shine the light of Jesus, Lord, as your body, as your church. To those who are living in darkness. To those who have not yet known you, O Father. Lord, I pray that you will teach us. You will continue, Lord, to teach us and make us, Lord, to become like Jesus.Father, we thank you for your word. I pray, O Lord, that these words that you have spoken to us will remain in our hearts, that they will bear fruit, O Father. That, Lord, this word, O God, will work in our hearts, Lord, and transform us to be the kind of person that you are making us to be. Thank you, Father. Just commit each one to you.Pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So I want to hand this time over to Jeremy. I think we'll just we'll do that later or we'll skip it.
Morning. Well, I don't know about you. When I saw the video clip, I really has a lump in my throat. Very likely the person in the video was not a Christian. And really sometimes people who are not part of the family of God, they are the ones who show us what it is like to be like Christ. And, anyway, we want to welcome you to our family meeting. We call this family meeting.Okay, in the past, it was called a business meeting because we want to include everybody. Okay, we believe that we all belong to the family of God. Okay, and so we want to call it family meeting. Everybody is invited to stay, all right? Even though you may not be a member of the church. Okay, let's just pray first as we begin this meeting. Father, I want to thank you for this... Very simple message, a very powerful and meaningful message that you have laid upon Alvin's heart to speak to us, to your body here in this church for this time and season. I pray, O God, that we will always remember that you are the head of the church and that we are part of your body. And we are to love one another. We are to honor one another. And Father, I pray that as we focus on loving one another, as we focus on being a blessing to one another, that this body will become healthy. And that as a result of our health, we will grow. I pray, O Lord, that as we meet as a family, I pray you will lead us. Help us to know the things that are on your heart. Give us your wisdom, even as decisions need to be made, that you will lead us and guide us to make the right decision. So we commit this time to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we distributed copies of the minutes of the meeting 2 weeks ago. And, you know, if you would like a copy, I think there are still some copies available. So, Mr. Chong and Wing may be able to help you. If you need a copy, just raise your hands. Okay, there.